Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I think David Bray's book is an important addition and a very inconvenient addition for those who want to carry on the pretense that Taffy Holmes and Daniel Morgan didn't know one another.
That was Laurie Flynn, co-author of the landmark book on police corruption, Untouchables, and we're back for an important update in the Morgan family's three-decade-long struggle for justice. Now, those of you who've heard series one and two of the Daniel Morgan murder know that one of the biggest mysteries, and a subject we've tried to tackle several times, is the possible connection between the murder of Daniel in March 1987 and the suicide of D.C. Allen Holmes, Taffy Holmes, 4 months later. Both violent deaths of two Welshmen a few miles apart had been attended by rumours of gangland connections and police corruption. But why is this important? Because Derek Haslam alleges that both Daniel and Taffy were working on a huge story of police corruption involving senior officers and a multi-million pound cocaine importation in the months before they both died. The scale of that alleged corruption blows out of the water other motivations such as the Belmont robbery, rivalry over women, or some Maltese hit. It also makes the scale of the cover-up after Daniel's murder much more explicable. Over 30 years on, we have a crucial new bit of evidence. I talked to Alistair and Laurie about it a short while ago.
Untold, the Daniel Morgan murder.
So we're back with the Daniel Morgan podcast almost a year since the last update with some pretty interesting and extraordinary news. Maybe Alistair, first you can describe this to us. We have a new witness coming forward.
Yeah, David Bray.
Explain who David Bray was.
Now, David Bray was my brother's sidekick, essentially. He was somebody that Daniel worked with very closely on a day-to-day basis. He was the person in Southern Investigations who probably knew Daniel best and most privately, in a sense, about Daniel and his private life, what he thought, you know, what he was like as a man.
And he's written a book, Inside in Southern Investigations, which he details is about 5 or 6 years he knew him. And it's a very accurate portrait of Daniel, as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were things in the book which, you know, about Daniel's work that I had, you know, I knew only vaguely, and David goes into it in detail. And portrayal of my brother is spot on. You know, I thought, that's Daniel. I know, you know, because I know him myself, and I thought, that is Daniel to a T.
So it's an accurate book. It also contains a lot of information from the inquest, but it has one stunning revelation, which I think took all of us by surprise.
Yeah, the most interesting thing about the whole book is David describing Daniel's relationship with Allen Holmes.
Allen Holmes, also known as Taffy Holmes.
Taffy Holmes.
A detective constable sort of involved in the Brinks Matt investigation of serious crimes. Yeah.
And who later was found dead. Suicide, murder, you know, this is still a hot question.
And this was within a few months. Daniel's murdered in March. I think Taffy
died in end of July.
End of July. So within a few months. Now, I think we've had whole episodes of the podcast about this.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, joined by Laurie, who wrote about the connection in his book, which he wrote with Mike Gillard, The Untouchables, was that there were allegations actually they knew each other. They were thick as thieves, according to one witness in the News of the World, Jonathan Rees. And we've had whole episodes. Did Daniel and Taffy know each other? Were these two violent deaths in 1987 connected? And the other major witness to this is Derek Haslam.
Yeah. Now, I first met Derek in 1987. And at that time, I didn't know who he was. And over the years, I've spoken to Derek numerous, numerous times. And latterly, got to know him much better. And he gave an account of a meeting with Alan Holmes in which Holmes told him that he and Daniel were dealing with a story which they were selling to the News of the World.
Or I think in Derek's original version, just the newspapers, he didn't know which particular version. Initially, yes. But unfortunately, we have just one witness for the last, for 30 years, doing this podcast for over 2 years,
yeah.
We've really only had Derek's word to rely on and his recollections, which is a little bit tenuous.
Well,
not his evidence. No, just one person is not enough, is it, really?
No, it isn't. It isn't. I mean, I've been sceptical about this connection, but over the years when I've spoken to Derek, I've never, ever felt that this man is lying to me or dissembling or making anything up, He's always come across to me as a straightforward bloke that's just saying what he remembers.
But obviously, if there's only one witness, it's easy, especially if that person then goes undercover and has to lie to a certain extent as part of his legend, it's very easy to discredit them. But what does Bray say?
David Bray recounts in his book that Daniel first told him in about 1985 that he knew Alan Holmes, who was on the Brinksmad investigation. And Daniel was quite excited about this, apparently, according to David, because Alan Holmes was a superb source of information. This is what Daniel obviously thought.
And Rees had a lot of coppers, but Daniel didn't have many.
Daniel had very little to do with the police. And having this contact, he found that this was very exciting for him. And anyway, as the story develops, David becomes anxious. He describes how he became anxious about Daniel's determination that he was going to get this story out in the media, get a story out into the media, which was obviously linked with his association with Alan Holmes.
Yes, the story is, I think David overheard it once, finally pressing Daniel, says, you don't want to know. And after a meeting with Taffy in February, I think it is, 1987, says, I'm not going to tell you. He does tell David it was something to do with drugs and police officers, a drug importation.
Yeah, I think David found it very difficult because he was so close to Daniel that Daniel wouldn't give him the information, what he was dealing with Alan Holmes. And I imagine that Daniel thought, this is so damn sensitive that I cannot tell anyone.
Well, there's an amount of money.
Because he certainly didn't tell me,
And so he thought it was dangerous information to have. There's a mention of between, originally £250,000 for the story, so a big story, according to Bray, which fits in with our other evidence, and down to £40,000. And this is all in the weeks leading up to the murder, around about the time he, because David Bray goes to Malta with Daniel, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And there's a break-in at the office.
And a break-in in Daniel's house. And David obviously thinks that this could be linked to what Daniel is doing, with the story about police corruption.
So there's an extraordinary bit of evidence that does suggest that, forget the Belmont auction, forget Malta, really, that the thing which is on Daniel's mind, which was the most urgent and pressing, wasn't police corruption over a heist and sort of private security, but a big story, a story worth a lot of money, potentially, about police corruption and drugs, which is exactly what Derek said. Taffy told him completely separately, 3 or 4 weeks before the murder at Curry House in Thornton Heath. Okay, let's just part that there, and let's turn to Laurie, because a lot of people did not realise the connection between those two violent deaths until you and Michael published Untouchables. What was it made you connect them, right? Way back then, before you didn't talk to David Bray, why did you think they were connected?
Well, first of all, we met Derek Haslam, and Derek Haslam said they knew one another. I also met Thelma Wagstaff, and when I explained what had gone on, she did not contradict any of this.
Thelma, by the way, did the investigation into the suicide, alleged suicide of Taffy Holmes, didn't she?
She did indeed, yeah. She was the first woman commander in the Met, I understand. She was not a Mason. She had been appointed to the position of handler of and charge of all Met intelligence, all their informants, precisely because she wasn't a Mason. And this was all in the wake of this appalling crime called the Brinksmat robbery, which leads also directly to the murder of this poor police officer, John Fordham, in Kenny Noy's garden or property. Two of those people had been, that we've just named, had been informants of Commander Raymond Adams. Commander Raymond Adams, according to Thelma Wagstaff, had been sidelined, replaced in the paramountcy of the Met by herself, and then she was removed. So what you've got is a seething mass of competing cliques inside the Met, and an attempt in the wake of the Brinksmat fiascos to put somebody of irreproachable integrity in this highly sensitive position. So, of course, we trawled around, and we had absolutely no reason to disbelieve what we were being told, that there was a fundamental, deep-seated, horrendous corruption problem in the Met. And what was a suspicion in 2000 became a very hardened reality by the time we finished writing the book, The Untouchables, and that suspicion has now grown into a mountain of evidence of horrific corruption in the Metropolitan Police, particularly in the very area where these murders took place. We soon found evidence that the Association of Chief Police Officers was worried about these kind of murders. They felt that they were murders which were being conducted in order to silence people who knew too much about how high up the Metropolitan Police, or some elements of the Metropolitan Police hierarchy, who were involved in profiting from crimes, covering up crimes, and indeed organising, it would seem, drugs importation.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So let's follow through just the implications there. So now three witnesses, I mean, obviously one of them's Reese Daniel, Taffy was thick as thieves. They are selling a story of police corruption to the press. Another witness says, well, it's News of the World, News of the World had that kind of money. What does this change in terms of your picture of what happened in March 1997? Well, what's your best reading of what happened now?
I mean, One can only speculate in this position. I don't have evidence, but the idea that Daniel may have gone to the News of the World and then been murdered is very, very uncomfortable.
Well, it's uncomfortable if Madigan is correct. The other thing that points to me is that there's break-ins of documents. You know, I've got this obsession with documents, that there were break-ins at that time, that David Bray says, you know, that Daniel was very, very worried about this. But let's roll it forward beyond recent fillery. What does it mean, then, that Taffy Holmes commits suicide in a slightly odd way where the gun is by his side, there are no fingerprints in it, and he shoots himself in his chest, and as an alcoholic, he hasn't been drinking? What does that mean? Just so we know, Derek Haslam had reported allegations of corruption, multiple allegations around several officers, including Raymond Adams, who was Taffy Holmes' friend. Taffy Holmes gets caught in the middle as an intermediary and sort of caught by CIB3, the Internal Investigation Squad, and says in his suicide note, I've been sort of caught up by that Serpico Haslam. Mm. That's an odd word. Serpico was a good cop, exposing corrupt cops. I mean, we can only speculate, but how does that relate to Daniel? Is it just the fact that Daniel gets murdered around the time he's exposing police corruption, and then Taffy Holmes gets caught in a police corruption story and doesn't survive?
One thing, since David Bray's book, one thing rings loud alarm bells in my head, and that is, on the day after the murder, when I was in London, and where I'd kind of cornered Jonathan Rees into a meeting to talk to me, in a pub, David Bray came into the pub. He'd seen Reese's car outside. And David walked into the pub. And I was sitting there with Reese and Iris, Daniel's wife's brother-in-law, Joe Harty. And David came into the pub and immediately saw us sitting by the window. I remember we were sitting by a window. And he came over and Reese turned to him and said, this is a private conversation. I was stunned by his rudeness. You know, we were all bereaved, if you like, there, including David. And he'd come along and wanted to sit with us. And he was in shock. You could see it from his face, you know, as I was. And Reese was so rude to him. And in fact, I remember David went over to the bar and sat maybe about 5 or 6 metres away from us, looking quite crestfallen by the way Reese had treated him. Now, Reese was talking to me, so I didn't want to make a... I was
pumping him for information. You were suspicious by that.
So there was that. And then the next day, when I went to the incident room and had an interview with Sid Fillery, after the other officer who was with Fillery in the interview had left, Fillery asked me, what do you know about David Bray? Now, at that point, so Reese had wanted to keep him away from me, right? And then the next day, Fillory's asking me, what do you know about David Bray? Now, at that time, I thought he was suggesting that David was a suspect, and I ridiculed the idea. I said, it's absurd. But in the light of what I know now, the fact that Reese was trying to keep him away from me, and Fillery was... pumping me for information. Right. What do you know about... He wasn't suggesting... It looked like that to me, but what he was trying to find out, I believe, was, has David Bray been talking to you? And indeed, the following day, when there was an attempt to get me out of London, I now suspect that it was possible that they wanted to keep David Bray, me away from David Bray.
That's where you were getting too close. That's
You
might find out the truth.
I'd already told them about Belmont. I'd already spoken.
Yeah, so they weren't actually worried about Belmont.
No, I'd have told.
But
you
if they told you that hey, Alistair, Danny was selling a story of police corruption, we're working with this guy Taffy Holmes, you'd have been on that like a shot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Ah, so that explains the...
But that's what it looks like to me now.
As much
it's
sense.
It's changed the whole way I look at those events now, 30 years later.
And it's interesting, we just ought to explain to our listeners that it's not like you last saw David Bray in 1987.
Yeah, yeah.
So this has not, his evidence, his book, has not been contaminated by lots of discussions with you. You've basically not had any contact for 30 years, and then this comes out. I think it's significant. I mean, what do you think, Laurie?
I think David Bray's book is an important addition and a very inconvenient edition for those who want to carry on the pretense that Taffy Holmes and Daniel Morgan didn't know one another. I think it's yet further evidence that they did know one another, that Daniel was discussing going to the media with a worrying, terrifying, sensational story about police corruption. I think Daniel had stumbled onto one of the edges of what I can only describe as a swamp of corruption in South and Southeast London, and it's no accident that that swamp had remained undrained for many years. Let's remember that Operation Countryman had only recently been closed down, and in that operation, according to the wonderful World in Action, made in 1981, which was highly unpopular with the Yard, there were 3 commanders, 9 detective superintendents, 15 detective inspectors who were suspected of serious corruption. When that operation was closed down, it's very interesting, there was a newspaper report which says, "They now believe that the network of corrupt detectives known as the firm within a firm still exists and flourishes and resists all efforts to expose it. They believe it involves hundreds of officers and extends to the senior reaches of the London police hierarchy." So I think this is the context of a massive attempt to cover up the real extent of corruption in the Metropolitan Police, an attempt to refuse to drain the swamp, and this is what leads to the appalling murder of Daniel Morgan, who was trying to expose some of this, not that many years after the closure of Operation Countryman. The records of which, by the way, have been sealed for 70 years, I think. We can't examine these. So I think what you're dealing with here is Bray is a very, very important marker, a biomarker of what was really going on. But he's not the only witness. There are literally dozens of people who could have been interviewed by the Met. Dougie Campbell, I believe, was probably told not to go down the road of what was happening in the media at the time. I believe that's still an agenda of the Met hierarchy.
But just going back to slightly more detail on the David Bray, one of the sort of various red herrings planted in 1987, the 3 main ones, to do with affairs, several candidates there, to do with Malta, and that was placed in there. And also that David Bray, there was some drug deal going down with your brother. You know, that he was buying drugs, wasn't there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So the endless... But this makes much more sense. Also, just the scale of it, doesn't it? The scale of the cover-up. It can't be the court case over £10,000 with Belmont. But if it's involving senior officers, Derek's account of what Taffy Holmes said was that there were 3 senior officers and 2 customs officials. And it was up to 100 million cocaine importation. That makes all this credible as a motive to shut Daniel up, doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
Much more than anything else.
Absolutely.
And would explain the various levels of cover-up and police, police involvement.
And if you think as well about the political climate at the time, which I think one has to consider, this is 87. The Wapping dispute had only just finished, in which the police, the miners' strike was only a couple of years before that, and the police were being used in a very, very heavy-handed way to deal with discontent over Thatcher's policies and this kind of thing.
It's one of the allegations.
Would have just been so unacceptable politically, if you like.
And one of the allegations about Hillsborough is because it was South Yorkshire Police who policed Orgreave, that they were kind of let off the hook over their mismanagement of the Hillsborough Stadium disaster as a kind of political favour for what they'd done during the miners' strike.
Yeah, it's quite possible. And also, one has to think, too, about Rupert Murdoch's relationship with Margaret Thatcher. And he'd been allowed to buy the Sunday Times under questionable circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, there was this same awful symbiosis with government and the Murdoch empire that still exists today. You know, it's still here 30 years later.
During the Leveson inquiry, Rupert Murdoch said, and I won't try my awful Australian accent, but words to the effect, "I've never asked a prime minister for any help." But Andrew Neil, former editor of the Sunday Times, stepped forward to say, "I was around." He did. He asked Margaret Thatcher for help with policing the Wapping dispute. And there were like 10,000 demonstrators, 3,000 police. It was a huge police operation. If suddenly Taffy Holmes rears again, connect with Daniel, and there's a connection, we're back where the detectives were, three of them, in the summer of 1987, weren't they? Because there was Kinley Davis, Mickey Croft, and another one, I forget, who all three of them, for that summer, investigated the connections between Taffy's...
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think we documented it in the book.
Yeah.
And all their actions for two or three weeks. And then they go away then holiday, and they're taken off the case. Doesn't that...
Well, it does raise an eyebrow, doesn't it?
That even back so then, English. People knew. Have they interviewed... Has the panel interviewed any of those three detectives?
I couldn't say. Whatever's happened in the past, right? David Bray has shown up, and he can't be ignored, and we certainly won't ignore him. And I think that I'm very, very hopeful that the panel will now look very closely at this, at the implications of what this means, and help us to get to the bottom of it.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon, next year, when the Daniel Morgan Independent Panel reports.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So we promised to deliver you a series of Untold, the Cambridge Analytica story. But as you will know from following the news, that story is far from over. The Mueller investigations into Russian interference in the US elections are nowhere near completion. In the UK, there are still multiple inquiries into data misuse and electoral law breaking and Russian interference during the EU referendum. So, as US midterm elections loom this November, and Britain faces the cliff edge of a no-deal Brexit next March, myself, an Observer journalist, Carol Cadwallader, and a host of other relevant interviewees will provide regular updates, breaking news, and analysis of everything to do with Trump, Russia, and Brexit to make sense of these tumultuous times.
Trump, Russia, Brexit, Untold's bi-weekly podcast, coming soon.